This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans and the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Man, just a ton to talk about. All of the games, New Year's Eve, of course, the three yesterday, wrapping up with the most amazing Sugar Bowl ever. And the Saints this weekend, you have every just about NFL game has something to do with something. Even the Saints and Falcons. You have some Tampa fans rooting for the Saints and Carolina fans rooting for the Falcons. It's going to be crazy. Crazy times. Now, I'm going to introduce my partner who's with me every week. He doesn't feel well, Deuce McAllister, and people are going to go, oh, yeah, Betty Dutton, New Year's Eve, partying with them Ole Miss fans. He's out till 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, no. I will tell you this. This man has been sick for 2 weeks. 2 weeks he's been struggling and getting IVs and medicine. Had another IV today. So I'm telling him the truth.
I have been better. I'll put it that way, Mike.
And what's interesting is, I hadn't seen 12:30 the last 2 nights.
12:30, I was still at the daggone dome last night.
I was out of there by then, but yeah, I hadn't seen 12:30 the last couple of nights. But man, I wanted to be here with you and just talk about everything that's going on as far as in the sporting world. And you know, we got the Pelicans who are in a little slump. They play tonight, and you talk about the college football landscape and how we're down to the final four teams, and we still have bowl games going on. And oh, yeah, the NFL. You know, you look at what? It's two games tomorrow.
Yep.
The nightcap is the Atlanta and
no, the nightcap is San Fran.
Well, I'm sorry, San Francisco, right. Seattle. That's the nightcap. But the for the NFC South, it's San Fran and Carolina. I mean, San Fran. Carolina and Tampa Bay. Oh, yeah, by the way, a Tampa Bay team that is struggling.
You think?
To say the least.
Can you imagine that you have lost, you're in the NFL, you've lost seven of your last eight.
Yeah.
And you are still being talked about. You are in a conversation.
You can
win
the division
title and host the playoff game.
You can win the division.
Same with, how about the Ravens? 1-5. And now they get the same opportunity. The AFC North and the NFC South are in a winner. I mean, the NFC South technically isn't in a winner-take-all, but the AFC North is.
Yeah, and so Pittsburgh if they had taken care of their business last week against the Browns,
yeah,
then it would have been over. But they couldn't do so. So now they got to deal with Lamar and that whole idea just to qualify for the playoffs.
Right, and it is a winner-take-all, and the way it's being couched is that the loser, the coach of that loser, has been around for eons.
For a long
whoever
time.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, for both
Harbaugh
teams.
Harbaugh and or Tomlin. You
for
pick,
both
you
teams.
Pick.
And I think the fans are uneasy. As much success as both of those guys have had, they're looking at championships.
Yeah.
Not just struggling to make the playoffs. And I don't know if either one of them can survive not making the playoffs this year with the talent level that they've had. Now, I know that you signed some guys and, you know, you may have had a player or two hurt or a few players hurt, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens up in Baltimore and Pittsburgh just because of the unrest, just because those coaches have been there forever. And I think amongst them, they've only got, what, one Super Bowl apiece?
Yes.
I know that for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He's only, and I think Harbaugh only has one.
Yeah. That was against his brother.
Yeah.
And here in 2013.
Yeah. I think he only has one. I mean, and so those fan bases are angry and want more.
Yeah, and it's not like I was listening to some show, and it's like Tomlin is actually much younger than I thought he was, and he's not going to the broadcast booth.
No,
he is. He's, you know,
No.
That cat is going to be on the sidelines somewhere.
Somewhere.
They were even talking about trading him.
Like, yeah, well, somewhere. Yeah, I mean, they were talking about it last year.
Yeah.
You know, trading him. And, you know, when you look at it, I think the claim to fame is he's never had a losing season. But you've only had one Super Bowl. And you think about the talent that has come through Pittsburgh and, you know, the following that they have, I think that's the frustration that a lot of their fans have had.
And he's not going to have a losing season this year.
No,
he won't. If they lose tomorrow night, they'll lose the division, but they'll be 9-8.
Yeah, they won't have a losing season.
They'll be 9-8. We'll tell you what's going on the show today at 4:35. We're going to have Jim Eichenhofer, writer for thepelicans.com. Again, that's the host of the Pelicans podcast. That's at 4:35. I think I said that right. 4:35. Pelicans are at 7 o'clock against Portland. And then at 5:25, we'll have our friend Dave Archer, the Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst, as we talk Falcons and the Saints. And that was a pretty good game yesterday, Bub.
The Ole Miss game, the Sugar Bowl?
That's by far the best of the CFP they've had.
You talk about slaying a dragon. That's the dragon. I mean, it's Georgia. Yes, there's other games that you have to play. But when you talk about the standard of the SEC, I mean, what Georgia has been and how consistent that they have been. Now, I know they won a few more championships from Kirby, but, I mean, you figured that would be the team that took over for Saban after Nick Saban kind of retired. It would be the Georgia Bulldogs. And so to be able to beat them, particularly how they beat you earlier in Georgia, and – from my perspective, a couple things came into play. Defensively, you didn't make them punt at all in Athens. The whole game, they didn't punt.
Wow.
They punted multiple times here in this game. And the other part that I think that probably, and I know Kirby commented on it, that probably played a favor for Ole Miss in this game, the first time you were on the roads in Athens. This time, even though it's a neutral site, that was probably at least 65, 35, it was more Ole Miss. Yeah. And even if it was 60-40, even if we go that way, you had more engagement from the Ole Miss fans. Because it was like, I don't want to call it their Super Bowl, but they wanted, we know there's a couple things at play.
Yeah, they're playing with house money, man.
Yeah, there's a couple things at play. One, you know, they feel disrespected from how the whole situation went down with the head coaching situation. And the other part of it is Georgia beat you.
Yeah.
Georgia beat you. And so it's almost like you said, it's house money for us. You know, if we can keep this thing close, then all the pressure is on Georgia. It's not on us. You know, nobody's picking us to win. They weren't the favorite. I mean, for them to have that type of success, and like I said, it was back and forth. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Georgia goes on a run, Ole Miss answers, and Georgia said, no, not so fast.
I have never – to me, there are so many key plays. First off, the first time – you know, Ole Miss went for it on fourth down in the second half. It stopped, right? So Georgia fakes the punt. And so a fake punt where they actually make the change to the line fairly soon. So you knew it was a fake. It's a reverse. Mm-hmm. So you got a guy running left. He tosses to a guy running right. That's a long time
to develop
a surprise fake punt. Pulled it off.
Well, and the reason is where they were located on the field. You probably thought they were on a 32.
Yeah.
You know, so they're backed up pretty good. There's no way that they're going to run this. But when you go back and look at what Coach Kirby said, he was like, we felt like we needed the momentum. And they were losing the momentum. And so that's why he did it. The other part of it, the one that's critical, and found out today that it was supposed to be a no play,
right,
was the fourth down that they went for.
Fourth and nine, something like that.
And the left tackle doesn't block the defensive end. If the quarterback has time, he has a receiver wide open.
But it was supposed to be a punt team on, and they brought the punt team off, brought the offense back on to try to draw the offsides, but there was a miscommunication, so he snapped it. But it looked to me, and I've watched it a bunch now, that Stockton was – it didn't surprise him. He like, that ball didn't feel like a surprise.
No, I mean, his reaction was, all right, let me make a play. Not.
But I will say the left tackle.
Yeah.
Immediately threw up his hands like, what the heck are we doing?
What are we doing? I mean, because he blocks down.
Right.
He lets the defensive end go free.
Right.
You're talking about one of the fastest defensive linemen on Ole Miss's team. So, for him, he's like, oh, that's – I got a free hit on the quarterback.
Huge play.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
two plays later, they back score. Shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's a 10-point game.
It's a 10-point game. And now you talk about a punch. And, I mean, but you just saw how Georgia reacted. And it's like, we've been here, done that before.
And a play that might get talked about, might not get talked about. Stockton runs it down to the 3, second down. And it's an inside. I don't know if he's going to RPO it. But he doesn't give it to the back. He's dead anyway.
Yeah.
There's a tackle. There's two guys. It's a tackle for a loss for -3. That is such a huge play. Let me say, I'm standing next to a football coach, a friend of mine that I know, De La Salle, and I was curious. I says, hey, minute 9, I go, would you let him score? Right? Would you almost let him score? You only had one timeout. Like, you get the ball with a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, nah. You take that timeout, and son of a gun. Next play, tackle for a loss, they're back to the 6. Now, there's a reason I'm sitting behind the mic. That man's a coach.
I mean, but they've been through those situations. I mean, because, for me,
a huge play,
on third down for Georgia, I thought that they probably should have run the ball and run the clock down and not throw the pass. Because once you threw the pass and you don't connect, I understand you want to go for touchdown and not the field goal, but you at least run the clock down now where they don't have any timeouts.
Right, you've tied it.
You've tied it. We go to overtime because you've only have 20 seconds or so to be able to drive the length of the field. And look, we talk about kickers.
Yeah.
That kicker for Ole Miss, man, I don't know where he was rated as far as kickers coming into.
It was his first year with you guys.
Yes, that's correct. But I'm just saying, like, on the radar for kickers. But he made some money last night.
That 55-yarder he made, I think, to start the game, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I went, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, we don't normally see those kickers kicking like that in college. And here's the thing. I don't think that they have the same rule that the NFL has with the game balls as far as the kicking balls.
Right. Need to take a break. Fans and a Pro, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister. We're back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, fans of the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister. Kind of a short segment here because we want to get into Jim Eichenhofer as we talk Pelicans, who host the Trailblazers tonight. And when I say a ton of moves for Week 18 for the Saints and Falcons, let's see. So on IR goes Michael Davis, the cornerback, the tight end Zaire Payton Mitchell, the tight end Jack Stoll, Mason Tipton. All four go to IR. Out for Sunday, Brian Brzee, Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, of course, with the blood clot that they found here. That poor dude is just fighting his tail off. When he wanted to play a 17 game so bad this year. And Nathan Shepard also out. Questionable is Dylan Raidenz. Spencer Rattler's got an injured finger and the calf with Demario Davis. So they've already signed three players to the active roster. Ronnie Bell, who was a practice squad elevation last week, Fidel Diggs, their draft pick, and another wide receiver, Samori Toure, to the active. And I think they still have a shot. They still have a space. I think that only puts them at 52.
Yeah,
they still have some practice squad elevations because they still need some. I mean, that's just for a week 18, good. Because they really hadn't had that,
Nope.
They've been fairly, numbers-wise.
But also probably if this was a game that you had to have, a lot of those guys would probably be going.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, hey, we want to get some looks for these younger guys, but, we also want to be able to play a complete game and not go out there and look bad. So it's not like they're punting on the game, but they're giving some of those younger guys an opportunity.
Right. So you will have Cesar Ruiz back. He was full practice all week. He has no injury settlement. A couple of Falcons are out. One of them is a big one. It's Brandon Dorlus, their defensive lineman. He's got 8.5 sacks. He's been tough. He's got a hamstring issue. Clark Phillips III really hasn't played at all much this year. He's been on their IR. Coming back in the window. I'm not even sure if his window had open or wasn't open. And they got five questionable: DeMarco Helms, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Sam Roberts, who is on the IR coming out of his window, and Darnell Mooney. But Helms and Sam Roberts were full. Drake, Kyle, and Darnell, those are three pretty big questionables, but I feel like they're going to go.
They're going to go. Yeah. I feel like they're going to go as well. I mean, unless it's just something that pops them where they can't at all, I think they'll go.
Yeah. And so we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see what happens on Saturday. Nothing really impacts. Well, it does if you're when you're deciding, you know, unfortunately. I mean, the Saints can finish second in the division. They can finish fourth in the division.
Yeah.
A lot to be determined. Carolina, 8-8 at Tampa, 7-9. If Carolina wins, I'll try to be brief here and take the break. If Carolina wins, they're in. If they win the NFC South for the first time they're in the playoffs since 2017. If Carolina loses, they still have a chance. They want a three-way tie. They want the Falcons to beat us and make it a three-way tie. But if Tampa wins, Tampa does not want a three-way tie. So they want the Saints to beat the Falcons. So they don't want a three-way tie. So it's kind of a little complicated, but basically Carolina is either in if they win or an Atlanta victory. And so that's pretty much it. And then we'll worry about the, you know, second and fourth. And
yeah, because
we can't tell about
schedule.
That until it happens tomorrow.
Correct. It's basically about the schedule. Right. I mean, because we know kind of some of the games that you're automatically playing, but it's where you finish in the division determines like three or four other opponents.
Right. There's an AFC and an NFC West, you know, what place they finish. All right, take a break. We'll talk more about the Saints and Falcons, of course, but I want to get to the Pelicans and Jim Eichenhofer. So we'll be back after this. Fans in the Pro, Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister here on WWL. Welcome back, fans in the Pro, Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister. Tonight it's the Pelicans, 8-27 against the Portland Trailblazers, 14-20. And happy to have Jim Eichenhofer with us, writer for Pelicans.com, host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Jim, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and Haas.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sorry about that. I'm having a little... Can you hear Jim? Jim, we're having just a little trouble hearing you, so I'm going to ask a long question, and that'll give us some time to figure things out. So the Pelicans... At home tonight, they were home a lot in December. They went through that five-game winning streak in December, 1-5, and now they're in a five-game losing streak as they wrapped up December. And it doesn't take much when you kind of look at the five-game winning streak, 143, 133, 128, and they were putting points on the board. And you look at the five-game losing streak, and it's 108, 114, just not able offensively to kind of to keep pace with what they needed to do, because they're getting some players back, but to keep pace with that winning streak.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's interesting is that if you look at the last 10 games, the five-game winning streak, Herb Jones played in all those games, and then the last five games he's been out, all of them, which were all losses. So as much as, you know, you might look at the offense and say that they're not scoring enough points, it's not a good sign when you have to score 125 or 130 points to win. They definitely don't. No team wants to be in that position where, I mean, 115 points should get it done most of the time. I mean, they are playing at a very fast pace, so the numbers are going to be higher than average if compared to if they were playing slower. But I do think that the defensive end has been a problem all season. They've played so much better offense the last few weeks than they did, especially at the beginning part of the season. But without Herb Jones, I mean, they've struggled defensively with Herb Jones, who's one of the best defensive players in the league. So without him, they've had some real problems of trying to keep teams out of the paint. It just seems like some of these opponents have just scored way too easily lately. That's been something that they have to fix, of just showing more resistance on the defensive end.
Yeah, and I think one of the things also is the transition defense, you know, has just been not where it needs to be, and just want to get your comment on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that they're definitely focusing on, that they has been an issue that, I mean, it seems like it's been a little bit better lately, but there was a stretch where there were quite a few games where you're just watching it and you're saying, you cannot keep giving up baskets after you score. It's one thing if you have a live ball turnover, maybe in the backcourt, and all the team has to do is make a one pass or advance the ball up the court and they got a layup. But it seemed like earlier in the season there were too many cases where the Pelicans would give up an easy basket after they scored. And I mean, with the time that it takes for the opponent to take the ball to the net and inbound, that shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be giving up easy scores when you score yourself. So, I mean, but I definitely think that that's another thing. That's one thing that James Borrego has talked about lately. He's mentioned basically he has a list of what he describes as low-hanging fruit, which are things that you have, if you can focus on it a little bit and make some changes to your approach, that you should be able to make at least incremental improvements. And I think they have gotten better in transition defense, but it's still something that they need to make sure that isn't costing them games.
As you look, kind of, I haven't seen the starters for tonight, but I'd assume it'll be Jeremiah, Trey, Sadiq, Zion, and Derek. Zion kind of played his way back, you know, he just, you know, back to the starting position. But if you look, just kind of, Fears is averaging 14, Trey's averaging 20, Sadiq's averaging 15, Zion's averaging almost 23, and Derek's averaging 13. I feel like that, you know, they've got, you throw Jordan Poole back in the mix, and you, again, you get Herb Jones back. I mean, I just like what I've seen of Jeremiah, Sadiq, and Derek. To me, they've overachieved as to maybe what I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's I mean, I don't know if the word is frustrating, but there definitely is talent here, and there are definitely some players that have exceeded expectations. I think the rookies have both done really well in terms of, you know, you expect a lot out of guys in the lottery. Spears was picked 7th, Queen was picked 13th. But I think both of those guys have done as well or better than I think what is a reasonable expectation, especially from rookies. I mean, you guys know, in every sport, you don't want to have to rely on guys that are just coming into the pros to be in huge roles where they're responsible for a lot of whether you win or lose. But so, I mean, to your point, there's been multiple guys that have had good seasons and have done good things, but it hasn't resulted, obviously, in the record that they're looking for. In terms of tonight, I mean, unfortunately, there's some late-breaking news that Derek Queen is actually going to miss his first game this season tonight with a quad injury, and Sadiq Bey is going to be out for the second game that he's missed this season. Trey Murphy is questionable. So, I mean,
good gosh.
Unfortunately.
Sorry about that. I was just reading the starters from last game. I was like, good gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's, you know, it's funny too, because in the last couple weeks they really had gotten to a point where the lineup was relatively consistent, and aside from Herb Jones being out for the last five games, they had gotten to a point where, for the most part, game in and game out, you had a relatively good feel for who was going to be available and who's going to start. But I mean, tonight I think could be drastically different than what we saw even on Wednesday in the game against Chicago, because there's at least two guys with Bay and Queen being out, and then Trey Murphy's questionable, so it's possible that he doesn't play as well. So, I mean, we could be looking at what we saw a lot earlier in the season when they really struggled and had a long losing streak, where you have guys that are just going to get – I mean, it's good news for the players that want to play more minutes and get more opportunity, but it's definitely a lot more challenging to try to win when you have so many of your main players that are injured and not playing.
I guess, do we have any expectations, and I know it's relatively new, but the Queen and Bay as to the length? Are we looking a few weeks? Is it too early?
I don't have a feel for that. I think that is too early. The one thing, I mean, I'm the last person who should be trying to make predictions on how long guys will be out for, but I mean, I think it is potentially on paper a good sign that they initially were listed as questionable for the game tonight, and then they were changed to out, because that means that there was a chance that they could play at one point in this game tonight. So, I mean, that I always look at that. If they were listed as out from the very beginning, you would know, uh-oh, maybe this is something that's going to keep them out for a while. But the fact that it was on the table at some point that they might play, would lead me to believe that hopefully they're not going to be out for too long. And certainly this team cannot afford to have guys be out for a while, given the position that they're in right now in the standings and what their record is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at how this team has been able to play, and you talk about being able to get into the play-in, you know, one of the things that they can't do is have the, you know, 8, 9, 10 losses again. But, you know, if you can minimize that to 2, yeah, maybe 3 losses, and then you can win 2, 3, 4, and then defend home court, I think that gives you a chance. And so just tell us, you know, what it's been like being around those guys as far as from a morale standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think when James Borrego first took over as head coach in mid-November, one of the things that was kind of jarring to me was how often he mentioned that we got to get our confidence up, we got to get our morale up, because you look at it from the outside and you're like, okay, these guys are professional athletes and they make big money, but so how could the confidence be down? But then when you looked at the way the season started, there were some demoralizing losses. There were some games where they lost by 30-plus points, and then there were some games mixed in where they were competitive and lost at the buzzer or lost in the last couple minutes in kind of a crushing way. So, I mean, I think to me, the morale was really good recently when they won 5 games in a row, which you would expect. I think a lot of people thought, okay, they're turning a corner. They're making progress. They're going to hopefully slowly at least dig their way out of the hole that they were in. But obviously now with the way that they've played lately, I mean, they had a couple close games against Phoenix and they had a really close loss against the Knicks that could have gone either way. So it's tough, but they're in a position just when you look at the math. I mean, you mentioned the play-in race. I mean, even tonight to me is very significant because Portland is in 10th place. They're in the last play-in spot. They're 6.5 games ahead of the Pelicans, which is a ton. So it's like you have to, I don't want to say must win, but I mean, I know we're only in the first game of January, but I mean, this is an important game because I don't think you're at 6.5 games back. I don't think you should be taken seriously as a team in the play-in race. But if you can cut that down to, you know, 2 or 3 games behind that 10th place now, you can have a serious conversation about it. So, but I mean, I think they have to beat teams like this. They have to beat, you know, the teams that are in that range from 9 to 11 or 12 so that they can make some progress and get closer to 10th. I think Dallas is another team that fits that description. Those are games that they need to win to be able to make some progress and get to the point where when I sit here and say they're 6.5 games out of the play and you're not saying, you know, that's kind of almost ridiculous to say with how many games that is. If they can get hot and have a stretch, you know, they just had the 5-game winning streak we talked about. They need to have a stretch over, you know, 20-25 games where they play really well, and then they can make a dent in the 6.5 game deficit. But I definitely think that that's what they should look at from a big picture standpoint as far as this season and making it so that the second half of the season and when we get into March and April, they're playing games that matter, that aren't games that where you're just saying, okay, we're just trying to develop guys and look ahead to next season.
With the challenge, this is my final question, we'll let you go. The challenge being that if you look at the next, well, tonight is game 36. Home game 22, right? 22-36. Mm-hmm. You look at the next 19 games, 13 are on the road, right? You get into Mardi Gras, you get into a lot of different things. So 13 of your next 19, that takes you almost to February 9th, are on the road. So and maybe that's not a terrible thing. Maybe you build whatever, some chemistry on the road, but you're going to have to do it on the road, or quite frankly, the middle of February, March, and April aren't going to matter a whole lot.
Right, yeah, no, that's definitely something that is very important to look at, is just the way that the schedule turns the other direction against them to where, I mean, almost the stretch that you're referring to almost is all the way to the All-Star break. So, I mean, that's a long span of time where they're going to have to win some games on the road. I think the one positive is that if you look at the NBA, once again, the West is better than the East, and they've played a ton of games in their conference and don't have a good record against the West at all. But their record against the East, I think, is 4-5, which isn't great, but it's just obviously a lot more competitive, a lot closer to 500. And this stretch coming up, they have a chunk of those road games that they have coming up is against the East, including the next 4 road games. So they're going to have to make some hay against those teams, or like you said, it's going to be tough to even talk about being in the play-in race.
We shall see. Starts tonight with Portland, 7 o'clock. Jim Eichenhofer, writer for Pelicans.com, host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast at Jim_Eichenhofer, EICHENHOFER. Jim, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet, pal. Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, back after this here on WWL. Welcome back, fans of the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. The news coming up at 5. I want to shout out quickly to our Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com, week 18 of the NFL season. We will talk with Dave Archer with the Falcons coming up at 5:25. And I'd like to... I got no ill will. I got nothing against the NFL. I love the NFL. But did they just fall butt backwards into the greatest weekend ever? We have both number one seeds up for grabs, four division titles. Like every seed, like 14 of the seeds still have to be secured. You're locked in to making the playoffs, but that's... And so you have, so you can't say they're brilliant scheduling because they had Tampa and Carolina play week 16 and week 18. And then they had San Francisco and Seattle play week 1, week 18.
So you didn't get the script.
No, you got the script?
Yeah, I got the script.
Yeah.
I got the NFL script.
This is how they planned
it? Yeah, this is exactly how they planned it. I mean, you've got all these people that watch football all day, all night, and now they're going to be glued to the television. I don't care if it's via the radio, via the television, via all the streaming packages. It's just whoever's in control of the schedule, they figured it out. They figured something out because it's definitely working for them.
It's unbelievable. I can't remember just if you had the number one seeds that were still up for grabs, because the number one seeds ain't what it used to be. Number one seeds are big, and we still don't know. You have teams that have the advantage. You have some teams that could finish second or fifth, or where you drop because you the fourth seed being the AFC North or the NFC South. It's so significant, these games this weekend. I just can't believe it. It's great. Don't get me wrong. I as long as they're not out there taking credit for the scheduling.
Well, you know they are.
I know, but not to me, they're not. So, we'll see. There's a lot to be decided. I mean, even for the Saints and Falcons. Falcons have won three straight. You got the two teams the two teams playing the best right now in the NFC South are the Saints and Falcons. Saints have won four. Falcons have won three. They're out of it. And the two teams not playing as well are playing for the division title probably tomorrow at 3:30.
So, you know what else is interesting? How many coaches will be on the hot seat or gone on Monday?
Oh yeah, that's right.
We talked a little bit about it with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, because of the tenure of both of those coaches. But who is truly on the hot seat?
We will find out. Talk more in the 5 o'clock hour. The news is coming up next. You're listening to Fans in the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister. But the news is next. Welcome back to the final hour of Sports Talk this afternoon. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock. At 5:25, we will talk with the Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst Dave Archer. Friend of the show, like talking to him, get their thoughts on their three-game winning streak and what they'll have for us on Sunday at noon. And we're down to the final four in college football, and I got to feel there's some tweaks coming. So last year, the four bye teams lost. All four bye teams lost. This year, three of the four bye teams lost. So of the 2 years of this system, seven of your eight bye teams have lost. I don't know what that says. Because I think the changes that they made from year one to year two with the byes were needed. You're giving these conference championship buys that probably, I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah, but I think one of the things is you can't give that much time off. You can't give a month off. I think that's one of the issues. Now, Indiana didn't have an issue with their, time off. But the other thing is, as well, I would love for them to figure out how to get, if you've got a buy, then you deserve to play at home. You deserve to play at home. But I know there's bowl implications that come into play there. I mean, that's for another story, another day. But, you know, the bye teams, they deserve to play at home as well. I mean, because, Mike, think about this. If you're Oregon,
yep.
Oregon played at home.
Yep. Kinda.
Well, they played. Kinda. They played.
They covered. The Dukes covered.
And then where were they at yesterday?
Texas Tech Cotton Bowl.
At the Cotton Bowl. And next week, I think they go to Atlanta.
They're in the Peach Bowl.
They're in the Peach Bowl.
They're making their way across country.
And then the following week, they will be in Miami if they win.
All the way across country.
All the way across country. Now, think about it. If you're a fan of those teams, at some point, it's just like, you know what? I'm not going to one game. I can't afford to go to one game. It's a lot.
Yeah, but how would you do it? Because you'd have to have
they got people way smarter than us, brother. I mean, we
no, I'm just saying like you get because you're trying to keep the cotton those bowls.
No, I get it.
Intact.
No, I get it. That's what I'm saying. You gotta have some bowl teams mad and upset. I get it. I mean, not teams, but organizations right. upset. I mean, but my head hurt already. I don't want to think about how to make that happen to figure out. Hey, you know, for the cotton for the Sugar Bowl, this is the rotation that we're gonna use. For this game,
right.
But it's not a quarterfinals anymore. It's semifinals and finals. I don't know if that's the answer, but I think it's unfair to a team that has been ranked high. They get a bye, but they never get to host at home. You never get to host at home. You've had a phenomenal season, but you never get to host at home.
How about Miami's run?
Miami was on the verge of not getting in at all.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was the whole Notre Dame, Miami, and, of course, the group of five, you know, that I'm hoping they go to 16 so that the group of five doesn't get penalized.
I think they'll do 14.
Right.
And the group of five won't get penalized. But maybe that helps them with the bye issue.
Yeah.
If it's 16, then, I mean, it is what it is. You right. know, the group of five won't get penalized. But at the same time, you got to figure out how to reward those teams with byes.
So you're Ole Miss. So you guys got to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
Got to go to Fiesta.
What is that?
And then it's on the 8th, January 8th, which is a Thursday. And that tells you how much I've been in and out of the loop. I'm thinking they play next Saturday. It's like, wait. You play when?
Thursday.
That's a quick turn.
Yeah.
It's a week, but that's still a quick turn because most of those teams for bowl games and games like that, they have to get there, 3 days?
Yeah, usually.
It's 3 days. So, I mean, most of those teams, you'll go home for a day or two. And, you know, I know Ole Miss, they flew home last night, but I assume they would be flying back out Monday night.
Shoot, Oregon probably just stayed.
You would assume.
I mean, why go back to Oregon and turn right around and fly to the Atlanta and the Peach Bowl? I'm trying to think why the 8th, Thursday the 8th, why not? Because you don't have NFL on the 9th.
Mike, I told you, they got people that thinks. I don't know. I guess they wanted to go with the seven-day window. Yeah, 7-day window instead of 10 days. You know, I'm not sure.
And then January 19th. It's so small. The print on my piece of paper is so small. That's the
national. Is it the 19th or the 18th?
Oh, daggone it, man.
I think it's the 18th,
maybe. Probably right. I just can't see it.
Whatever that Monday is, we know it's that Monday night.
Damn.
So let me. Yeah. I mean, here's a calendar.
I just can't see it.
Well, here's a calendar right here. So that you know, quit hurting our brain. It's got to be the 19th. The 18th is a
Sunday.
A Sunday.
Yeah. So that'll be at Miami Hard Rock Stadium. Oregon and Indiana will be. What times? They're 6:30, and then.
Yeah, it is the 19th, Mike.
The Fiesta is 6:30.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So, you like the way Ole Miss is playing?
Played well. I mean, I'll say I was probably a little surprised. I mean, because like I said, you're fighting that behemoth, and so it is January the 8th for Ole Miss and Miami, and January the 9th for Oregon and Indiana.
That's what wasn't making sense to me.
That's what it is.
Because I'm going, well, wait a minute. They ain't got these two teams playing together against each other. They're not up against each other. So one's on the 8th, one's on the 9th.
Yep, one's on the 8th, one's on the 9th. And so both of them are 6:30 games.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I tell you, I mean, you talk about playing with house money. That's Miami. I mean, they, you know, they beat Texas A&M at home 10-3. I mean, they've played two games. They beat a Texas A&M and Ohio State and have given up 17 points total.
Well, their D-line, that front seven is legit. That front seven is legit, and you have a really, really good experienced quarterback in Beck, and then you have a freshman in Tony that's unbelievable. And so Beck, you know, obviously he was a Georgia quarterback, and Georgia kind of ran him off in a sense, and, you know, he's a little farther than they are. It almost was a matchup of him versus his old team. But here's what's interesting, Mike. You know, you talk about house money. Miami and Ole Miss, we know this for sure, and Indiana I feel pretty good about as well. They were some of the first schools to invest heavily in the NIL program on how the new structure and changing. And we know Oregon has as well. I mean, because Oregon, you know, you got Phil Knight out there and Nike. Yep. You don't have 30 uniform combinations just because. You know, they've got a robust NIL program out there. And I mean, that's the new wave. And here's what's interesting, and don't get me started on transfer portal opened last night.
That's right. We were 7 days away. That's right.
Opened last night. So you have individuals that are literally playing right now. They will play next week, and they had to put their name in the transfer portal. Guess what they got to do? They still got to go to practice. They still may end up playing in a game for the two teams or four teams that left playing.
Is the window open long enough that they can wait until after they play?
Yes and no, because I think they have 5 days until their last game played. But the other problem becomes if team A is recruiting you and want to sign you, are they going to wait on you?
Right.
Or are they going to go ahead and sign somebody else? Because it's forcing you to have to commit even though you're with another team.
And now you become a storyline that
you're a headline
that you don't
want.
Or
you are a distraction.
Exactly.
You're a distraction.
And you don't – it is what it is. You're not trying to – you're just buying, playing by the rules. Hey, it's a pretty good deal for Lane, too.
Yeah, I think Lane can afford maybe, you know, a new pair of shoes or
– He won $250 when y'all beat Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
Made it $500 last night.
Mm-hmm.
$750 if you beat Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And $1 million if you win it all.
And all you had to do was sit there and tweet on the phone, baby. All you had to do was sit there and tweet on the phone.
That's a good gig. I could do that. I could do that.
I know he was wearing Charlie out, too, though. Charlie Weiss, he's texting Charlie left and right over there. Charlie, answer the phone. Answer the phone. Run this play.
I forget, no, where was he? Where was he?
He was with Kim. He was at the SEC championship game. I mean, not SEC championship game. He was at the SEC opener for the Lady Tigers. And Tigers got beat. They got beat last second shot. But he was at that game. And so I saw the governor. I saw the governor, both governors.
I saw the governor last night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I saw governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves, and Governor Landry last night at the game. And, you know, both were obviously, you know, Governor Landry supporting because it's Sugar Bowl, and Tate Reeves supporting because you know, a Mississippi team is playing, and so we didn't go into those details.
You just governor one upped me.
Well, I mean, it kind of happened.
What happens if you're in the Hall of Fame of both states?
Well, yeah, I mean, that too, but it kind of happened because of proximity. I'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah, no, I just happened to walk past. I said, oh, there's like 20 cops. I went,
well, that part as well.
I'm in the wrong place of the building that I work in.
You start to see a lot of different lapels, and you're like, wait, what agency you work with? Because that ain't state police, and, you know, that's what, what's the, ATF? No, ATF, and I think that you had maybe Secretary of State, you had Lieutenant Governor. So, man, that's a whole bunch of different lapels, and you start to see them
talking in your hand.
That part, and then, you know, you can see some of the vests that they have on underneath it, and it's like, you know what? Let me get my little butt all out from over here, because something or somebody is coming through that I don't want to get caught up in.
All right, we're gonna take a break. You do me a favor. We sit near each other on the plane.
Yep.
We sit next to each other in the booth.
Yep.
You go get well.
I'm going to try.
Please go get well.
You see me take all of that medicine.
Yeah, you take more medicine.
Or that medicine bag.
Right.
And you know what? I haven't taken it since we talked about it. So that's part of the reason right now.
All right. Take a break. We'll talk with Dave Archer next. This is Fans in the Pro, back after this here on WWL. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas with you, and now we are happy to be joined by Dave Archer, the Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst at Arch. Make sure I get this right, at Archer QB16. Hello there, Dave. How are you?
Mike, good to be with you and Deuce. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we had to send Deuce home.
To send him home. Who'd you go to, man?
He has been down with sickness for like 2 weeks, and he just can't shake it.
I got you.
So he toughed it out, and I said, as I told when we went to break, I said, I sit next to you on the plane. I sit next to you in the booth. Why don't you go home and get well? So that's what he's going to do. So it's you and me. And it's
okay,
just,
good.
It's just kind of crazy that we're sitting here, you know, with this 3-in-a-row win team with the Atlanta Falcons, who just dismantled the Rams, and the Saints have won 4 straight. Now we played, you know, at Tampa and Carolina, you know, to start this 4-game win streak, back when those games were important to those teams, and then played the Jets and the Titans. So it's a little harder to tell, but clearly when you look at Carolina and Tampa, the Saints and the Falcons, you know, just went through those rough stretches in the middle, especially for Atlanta. I guess the longest question is this, are we seeing kind of the real Atlanta now? I feel like when you're running the ball like you're running it, taking the pressure off of Cousins, and you lost Penix, but is this more the team you expected?
Yeah, I think, Mike, it's been crazy. I'm sure you've sampled the same thing during the season for the Saints. I mean, if we could push this forward 3 or 4 weeks and have both these teams play the way they're playing, these two teams might be playing to go to the playoffs, and the other two teams be sitting there watching us, right? Well,
it wouldn't take much, right? I mean, we're talking one of those wins somewhere along the one of those losses somewhere along the way.
Well, and I'm sure you can pick out a play or two. I know I could pick out one play from 4 or 5 games that if we made that play, Atlanta be sitting 10, 11 wins. But they didn't do that. And so here we are. These two teams have played and been in this similar situation. I mean, even back when I was playing, seems like there were a number of times where we were trying to put the other one in the cellar and we were trying to stay out of it. But to answer your question about what Atlanta's been doing, I think that guys have made plays. Simply, I don't think there's been any grandiose coaches things that have happened or anything. Obviously, Bijan Robinson's playing at another worldly level. You leaned heavily into Bijan against the Rams. You guys watched that on Monday night. We did that against the Saints down there in New Orleans as well. He made a couple plays down there that turned the tide in a game down there. So he's just one of those players, and we're fortunate here in Atlanta to be seeing him. You guys have seen some guys like this in New Orleans as well. That these are kind of a I know it maybe gets thrown around a little bit. He's a generational type player. I played against some really good running backs through the years as an opposing quarterback against another team's run game, and this guy is the real deal, and he's a full package. He's not just a guy that catches the ball in the backfield or can make a guy miss in space or anything like that. So getting back to the original question, I just think that guys are playing with more confidence. There's guys making plays. I think that the defense has come around. The young defense has continued, not just to sack the quarterback, but are making plays in the back end. The two safeties have 8 interceptions combined, so they're taking the ball away. And much like the Saints, I mean, the Saints are playing really good on defense based on the tape that I've watched here in the last couple of weeks. And the young quarterback is really coming into his own. He's kind of learned what he can and can't get away with. And so this should be a really intriguing matchup against two teams that I think come in mentally and maybe even from a play standpoint, two of the hotter teams in the National Football League.
No, I agree. And I think back to week 12, Atlanta won 24-10. The Saints did not score an offensive touchdown. It was a Justin Reed pick six, and it was the third start for Tyler Shuck. And I agree. That's where I wanted to go, was to get your kind of assessment, really, and growth. I mean, he's thrown to the Wolves week 9. Hey, go play in L.A. against the Rams, when the Rams were a different – they were, they're a beast all the time, but they were really a beast back then. Took his lumps. I just wanted to get your thoughts from a quarterback standpoint, what you've seen of his progression.
Yeah, he's really made a lot of strides. There's no question about it. Obviously, the last 2 weeks, he's really lit it up, over 300 yards passing the last couple weeks. And I know Chris Olave has been a big part of that, and it sounds like you guys aren't going to have Chris Olave available. But it still looks like that he's finding ways to distribute the football, not to just Chris Olave. Juwan Johnson's playing well. You guys got guys. And I think it's been amazing with Kamara out, how it's been kind of running back by committee and kind of get a little something out of the run game to service the quarterback. But I had a chance to cover him as a Big 12 player when he was at Texas Tech, transferred from Oregon to Texas Tech. And when he was healthy and he had some injuries at Tech, all the dude did was win. I mean, every time you put him on the field, Joey McGuire, he puts him on the field there at Tech, and they won games. But unfortunately, he had a broken collarbone and had some issues there, and then had a really good year, obviously, at Louisville last season. And so he comes in probably the guy that most people – I think there were some people that started to catch on to who Tyler was, but late in the draft process. But I think a lot of people just kind of discounted him because a little bit older player, had some injuries. Well, he's playing at a high level right now. We're going to have all we can handle with the way he's distributing the ball and the way Kellen's calling the game now. I think that's another part of it, is Kellen's kind of slid into what he knows Tyler does well. That's a big part of the play caller quarterback synergy, and his ability to get him in places that he wants to, whether he feels comfortable. And I'm sure Tyler feels more comfortable about telling his coach, hey, I don't like that. Let's put this on the play sheet. Let's do this down in the red zone. So I think that that's going to be tough for Atlanta to deal with.
And Cousins has just been really efficient. It just feels like when you're running the ball like you have, even with Tyler and Bijan, and then, we have finally seen from afar, a Kyle Pitts that when he wants to be is unstoppable, flat out unstoppable. Last 5 games, 33 receptions, 4 touchdowns, 3 came against Tampa Bay. Drake London hasn't really, he's been kind of, I don't know if he's been banged up. I haven't seen a lot out of him numerically speaking, but I mean, just the talent that you guys can have. So you're not asking Kirk to go out there and, hey, win us a game. Just, go out and be efficient. He's only thrown one pick in his last 3. He's 4-2 in his last 6 starts. And so, he's exactly what you wanted in that backup role.
Well, and I think you hit it on the head. He's realized that he's got some talented guys around him. And fortunately, there's become a little bit more of a partnership between he and Zach Robinson. He's an older player, obviously, is kind of cutting his own ways, and Zach Robinson's a young play caller, and so trying to meld those two minds together takes some time. Had it rolling early in last year. Remember, 9-6-3, and then all of a sudden Kirk goes into a funk, and next thing you know, Penix is on the field. And so, but I do think that they found an even stride with one another. And hey, when you've got the guys you just talked about, Drake's been out. Drake's been hurt. He had a knee injury, a PCL strain that kept Drake off the field for 4 straight games. And fortunately for us, Kyle stepped up finally. He had a monster rookie year, got hurt his second year about halfway through the year, and really hasn't realized that immense talent that a lot of people thought he had and a lot of people saw him as a rookie. Well, he's played angry, Mike, the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I actually talked to him about it. I said, you just feel like you're playing like you're mad. And I said, whatever it is, you need to play like that all the time. And just attacking the football, you know, if they get a smaller defender on him, just saying, hey, you can't cover me, that kind of stuff, and just willing to do whatever he can to make a play. So, and Drake's back now, so it's good to have Drake back on the field. Didn't do a lot last week, actually looked a little bit rusty last week. I think he'll be more up to speed this week, but he's the one guy on the team that's that, if you had to pick out a guy that you wanted to go into a street fight with, Drake London's that guy. He is just a dog type guy with immense skills, great 50-50 ball guy. And so, yeah, those, if you get those three guys going, Atlanta's pretty tough. But unfortunately for the season, we just haven't hit on all cylinders having all three at the same time.
It's tough. I'm curious as to, like, our fan base, you know, obviously we're very spoiled for, you know, we thought 13-3 was normal every
sure,
year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, haven't made the playoffs since 2020. And I think appreciate, it's a brand new coach, and, you know, you put some wins together, you start to appreciate victories more as they're kind of rebuilding. Now, at the beginning of the season, it wasn't called rebuilding. They didn't even like the word, but now it's clearly rebuilding. And I'm wondering about your fan base, because you got talent. Right. So to me, if Tampa loses tomorrow, I feel like Todd Bowles is in trouble. And I'm just wondering where the Atlanta fan base is with Raheem and how I know everybody's unhappy. I get that part. You know, we're there. But wait, you don't have a first year head coach. I'm just wondering what's their thoughts.
Yeah, overall, the fan base is very disappointed. Obviously, there was conversation about Atlanta's in position now to go win the division. And just didn't win the close score games. I think they're 4-5 in one score games this year, and that was similar to what they were last year. I think they played in 12 one score games last year and only won 4 of them. So Raheem's coached 33 games as an Atlanta Falcon coach, as the head guy. We've been in 21 one score games. We've only won 9 of those. And so that's where the fan kind of goes, why are we misfunctioning in key moments of the game? Why is Drake and Kyle and Bijan not going off every week together? There's a lot of conversation about that. Obviously, centers around Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of dissension here, if you will. I guess the best way to say it, and what they feel like is going to happen and what is actually going to happen might be two different things. But right now, there's a lot of unrest here, and certainly it won't take much in this game here in Atlanta for the fan base to turn on Atlanta. Should New Orleans come out and start putting it on the Falcons, then you'll be able to hear it yourself as to where the fan base feels. But if they do get it going, they love Bijan Robinson. They love the other two guys you're talking about. So it could be either way. Very fickle situation here right now.
Yeah, no, we'll see, because I anticipate, because of the holidays and the way things fall, that there'll be there's always a decent New Orleans crowd there. So, and whatever team, we'll find out, you know, early on if they're there or not there. And you're right, as we let you go, and the two games that you played prior to us were both overtime losses. Tough.
That's how close you are. And I think that New Orleans probably could say the same thing based on looking at you guys' schedule, a couple bounces here or there. The one thing I will say, Mike, I think this game could potentially be bigger in the grand scheme of things for down the road for New Orleans. And the reason I say that is you guys have something going. And we did this late in a season when I was playing here. We beat New Orleans late in the year. We beat the Vikings late in the year. And it really spun into next season, really spun into our offseason from an optimism standpoint, and spun into the next season where we started 4-0, and we were 5-2. Through 7 games, didn't finish the way we wanted it to, but it really manifested itself into something. And I think that because of the uncertainty at quarterback here, who's going to be playing, is it Penix or is it Cousins, it kind of thwarts that momentum for us a little bit. But for you guys, knowing what you got coming back and all that kind of stuff, I think that there's a lot of energy that New Orleans could draw out of this. They come and win here in Atlanta.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst at ArcherQB16. As always, we appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and we'll wrap this thing up and see what this is. We're going to either have Tampa fans for us or Carolina fans for us. You know, it's going to be a weird one, so look forward to it.
Well, yeah, no question, Mike. I can tell you this. It's not hard to get up for a game that's the Saints at the end of the season. I don't care what your record is.
So we feel the same way, my friend. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. All right, take a break. Fans in a Pro, Mike Koss. And we'll be back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, fans in the Pro, with you for about another 13 minutes. My man, Deuce McAllister, not well. Not feeling well. Sent him home. Sent him to bed. I said, get to bed, young man. And he is going to do so because we got a game on Sunday. Andrew Pearson, who is filling in for Charlie Long's in the booth, going to carry us home for the final two blocks. And so I'm curious because I don't know that anybody would have had Oregon, Indiana, Ole Miss, and Miami. I think probably Miami's the key in there. Ole Miss and Georgia, yeah, that could have gone either way. As you look at these four, is there anybody like? Is it who worries you the most? I don't even know who you like college football. Where your leanings are? Like if you had to pick one of these four, Deuce is gone, so you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at what we got right now, I would not have predicted any of that, I'm sure, with everybody else, this being our final four. Oregon, Indiana, I've got a lot of friends who go to U of O, who are out in Eugene, who are all super hyped and all that. I don't know. Indiana's kind of got that moxie about them this year. I think, with Indiana particularly, with the star rating system for high school prospects kind of being a bit of a sham, like you'll see like a two- or a three-star guy be a two or three star when they go into high school their freshman year, and then all of a sudden when one commits to Georgia, they're a five star. So, you know, for me, you know, people will say, oh, Indiana built up this team from nothing, from like a whole bunch of three star recruits. It's a little bit misleading. Indiana is really good because they have amazing coaches in the building who are excellent at recruiting and developing, along with being very, very shrewd in the transfer portal. I think this Indiana squad, with the cohesion that they have and the fact that they're on a run right now, I mean, I'm a huge believer in momentum, not just in sports, but in other competitive fields as well. I kind of like Indiana to go all the way to the Natty and kind of win it.
Yeah.
With Mendoza and Cignetti getting the big contract. I think Oregon's done a nice job so far. Oregon is a very powerful team, but give me Indiana to win this Oregon matchup. And of course, for Miami and Ole Miss, fun story for Ole Miss, huh? Like getting the win
for both of them, really. Both of them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, what?
I mean, I don't know if you saw Lane Kiffin tweeting out the little banner with the Ole Miss flag.
No.
And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Because
he's making $1 million if they win at all. He's already made $500,000. And when they win, he wins.
I mean, listen, I think this is a fun game too. Trinidad Chambliss has the nation's attention. Coming up from D2, not just FCS, D2, to becoming the star quarterback at Ole Miss. I mean, very fun game. Carson Beck over for Miami, kind of working his way back into you know, NFL draft prospect status. And you know, I'm sure there will be much discussed on this quarterback draft class that looks like it's going to be worse than last year's.
Yeah, remember how good it was supposed to be? People said tank in 25 so you can get XXXXX.
Yeah,
quarterback class, not what, you know, and most of them went back. Arch went back, you know.
Arch might go back again.
Yeah, who knows? The funny thing we were talking about earlier, just before we take the break, we were talking about Oregon, who had to play in the Cotton Bowl. They played at home against James Madison, which, by the way, Kurt Cignetti was from James Madison, so they got him. And so then they had to go to the Cotton Bowl, and I'm like, well, God, you got the Peach Bowl. Wouldn't you just continue on? And I heard from one of our friends, DePaul Smith, who said, nope, they flew back to Oregon. And then on Wednesday, they're
right,
flying
yeah.
Oregon to the Peach Bowl. And then, there's such a break then. You know, you got to go back to Oregon before you fly to Miami, assuming that you beat Indiana.
Remember when college football used to make sense and you would go to your local fight against local teams in a local conference back in the good old days?
Man, I'm not sure college football, they could not make any less sense than it does now.
It is what it is.
It
man.
Is what it is. We love it. We love it. It was their best Sugar Bowl last night. I was there for it all. Was on the field after. I brought some confetti, gave it to Deuce. So it was a great Sugar Bowl. Congrats to Allstate and all of those. Jeff Hundley, John Sudsbury, you guys did a great job. That was a phenomenal game. Superdome, Caesar Superdome, legends, everybody. So take a break. We'll wrap things up here on Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Andrew Pearson back after this on WWL. Welcome back. Just a couple more minutes left. Mike Haas, Andrew Pearson. Got to ask you, Andrew. I'm going to read a quick promo, and I'm going to ask you your Super Bowl teams afterwards.
Okay.
I'm not going to hold you to it. But a quick shout-out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. Super Bowl, Santa Clara. What are your two teams?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, as a guy who loves a certain team out in the NFC East, I, by law, cannot pick the Eagles. Because, I mean, look, on the NFC side, it's so wide open right now. I'm still kind of leaning Seahawks-Rams for an NFC Championship rematch. We'll have to see, obviously, the seeding when all is said and done by the end of the weekend. But from the NFC side, give me the Seahawks to make it again. I'm sure many of my friends back home would be excited to hear me say that. And on the AFC side, I got to be honest, give me the sleeper Jaguars.
Oh, all right. Let me tell you, as we close things out here, here's how crazy the seeding is. The Seahawks can be the one seed or the five seed. The Niners can be the one seed or the five or six seed. It's insane. I mean, it is crazy. The Bears can be two or three. The Eagles, two or three. A lot to be decided. Don't forget, Saints, Falcons, noon. Of course, our coverage begins at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. Deuce McAllister and I will have the game for you at noon. Thanks for listening, everybody, to Fans and Pro. Thank you, Andrew, for helping out and filling in for Deuce McAllister not feeling well. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.